you have ever been to a concert, one of the best parts, at least for me, is when the final curtain falls and there is roaring applause and the crowd starts yelling what? Encore, encore, right? In John's gospel, John has sort of an encore. Over the past 2 weeks, we have been looking at the final appearances of Jesus. And he comes into that room where the disciples have gathered after Jesus has been crucified. They do not yet know that he has risen, and Jesus comes in through the locked door and appears to them. But it says that Thomas isn't there, right? So Jesus appears then for a second time. And so when we come to the end of that story, John tells us this. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing, you may have life in his name. The end. Book closed, right? Now, scholars will argue that this, what comes next, was not actually written by the same person who wrote the first 20 chapters of John. And I tend to agree if you study how it was written and, you know, everybody has their own writing style, right? The style in chapter 21 is different than the style in verses chapters 1 through 20. And so it's probably a different author here, someone who has studied and read John's writing. But whoever wrote this comes to the end and says, wait now. We need an encore. There is more to this story that needs to be told. And so we enter John chapter 21. And we get this final story of Jesus' last appearance to his disciples. Since Easter ended, well, Easter didn't end because Easter is 50 days in the life of the church. But since we left the Easter day, holiday, we have been looking at these appearances of Jesus to his disciples and asking ourselves, how does that define who we are called to be as the church? What is the mission of the church based on Jesus' resurrection and him coming back? And John 21 gives us a really big clue about who we are called to be and what we are called to do. And Jesus very plainly tells us that we are called to love. And we are called to love, he tells Peter, by feeding and caring for Jesus' lambs and Jesus' sheep. It says, feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Feed my sheep. Jesus says it three times, right? That this is what we are called to do. So I want to read for you this morning. Jim read the part of the text that I want to focus on for the sermon. But I want to read what happens right before that. After John says, Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples. It's the end, right? And then the crowd is screaming, encore, we need more. That's where chapter 21 comes in. So it says this at the beginning of 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. So we have all these disciples gathered around, right? And it says, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we will go with you. They went out and they got into a boat, but that night they caught nothing. So they decided to go out onto the Sea of Tiberias. Peter says, I'm going to go fishing, guys. And they say, okay, we'll come with you. So they go out and they fish all night long, and they catch nothing. These guys must feel super disappointed, right? And broken down and torn apart. Have you ever felt that way? So beat down that the darkness is just overwhelming, and at the end of it, you are hungry because you have caught no fish. Life is troubling. There's nothing to fill your tank, and you don't know what is happening next. And then John tells us daybreak comes. It says, just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. But the disciples, they did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? That's like every mom asking their kids a question. You got your clothes dirty, didn't you? You didn't pick up your room, did you? Like the question, but they already know the answer. That's exactly how Jesus asked this question. So the perfect mom. Children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they cast it and they were not able to haul it over the side of the boat because why? There were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Because at this point, they didn't realize it was Jesus until all the fish were in that net. He said, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he put on some clothes because he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came to the boat dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, only about 100 yards. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said, come and have breakfast. Now none of the disciples dared to ask them, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and he took bread and he gave it to them and he did the same with the fish. This was the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he had been raised. And then it goes on to that story, that conversation between him and Simon Peter. Now, whoever wrote this part of John's gospel had clearly read the rest of John, or at least knew orally what would be written down. Because over and over and over again, he points to something that had been written previously in the gospels. If we read the very beginning of John's gospel, it says, in the beginning was the Word, right? And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and I have not memorized it, apparently, this morning. But it talks about Jesus being light, and light coming into the darkness. John's gospel ends with some darkness. John's gospel ends with this brutal crucifixion story, but yet a glimmer of light at the end. And although it is powerful, it is almost like it says, here's the end. And then everyone is screaming encore because they recognize this can't be the end. Jesus has taken the world and turned it upside down. Jesus has taken darkness and turned it to light. He's taken love and turned it to hate. He's taken fear and doubt and turned it into praise. And so when we come to this part of the story, we see what had just happened flipped on its head. If you remember, when the women come to the tomb, when Mary in John's gospel comes to the tomb, it says Jesus appears to her and she thinks Jesus is who? A gardener, right? She does not recognize him. The same things happens with the disciples. Jesus appears on the beach, and they still don't recognize him. I don't know about you, but I think after 3 years of spending time with their best friend, they might realize it, but whew, these disciples, They still just don't get it, right? 21 chapters later, they're still confused. And then they catch all of these fish, right? Which is a sign back to the loaves and fishes verse where Jesus feeds the 5,000, right? And then when they come on the shore, he says, let's have breakfast. Emerson's favorite thing to say to us in the morning. She walks into our room and says, Dad, Mom, breakfast. He says, let's have breakfast, guys. And then it says, Jesus breaks bread. A sign back to the Last Supper. We get all of these signs over and over and over again. As almost if to tell us this story is not over. This story keeps going. Jesus appeared to his disciples two times before this happened, right? They knew Jesus was back. And yet they still didn't recognize him. You know what that makes me realize? That us as Christians, we hear the words of Jesus, we know what we're called to do, and yet we still don't recognize Jesus when Jesus is right in front of our face. We still mess up. We still fail. We still don't get it. But Jesus says, you know what? I will be there with you. That when darkness comes, that when you are hungry, I will show up and feed you. Jesus says this over and over again. As a pastor, I often talk to people who are not in the life of the church. And one of the things that I often hear from people is, I'm just unlovable. There's no way God could love me. Look at all of these things that I've done in my life. I don't belong in the church. There's no way God could love me for all of these things that I've done. And over and over and over again in the Bible, we hear that God's love for us has no condition, right? In Romans, we hear there's nothing that we can do that will separate us from the love of God. In Corinthians, we hear that God loved us so much that even while we were yet sinners, Jesus died on the cross for us. God loves us. God appears in our doubt, in our darkness, in our hunger, no matter what. God loves us. But Jesus has a question for us. He says, I love you, but do you love me? And this is the question that he asked Peter. And he asked him it three times. He asked him three times because Peter denied him three times, right? Just a few chapters before. So it's that reversal of the denials. And Jesus says, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus says to him, feed my lambs. And so a second time he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus says, tend to my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter felt hurt because he asked him a third time. And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And so Jesus said, feed my sheep. God loves you no matter what. But Jesus asks us if we love him in return. And he says, if you do, this is your commandment. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. This is the very mission and heart of the church. As the body of Christ, we exclaim every day how much we love Jesus, right? We say it in our songs of praise. We say it in our prayers. We say it by just showing up on Sunday morning, right? And while we are called to worship and while we are called to pray, our love of God does not happen at this altar. Our love of God happens out on the street. Our love of God happens in nursing homes and hospitals and homeless shelters. It happens in food banks and Four Seas thrift stores, right? Or boutiques. It happens at the senior center. It happens in St. Joe. It happens when we make our mats and our candles. It happens when we feed and we take care of the lost. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday, in addition to Mother's Day. It is the reminder that Jesus is the Good Shepherd, right? Jesus shepherds us and calls us. If we love Jesus, we are called to do the same. And I think that that's why whoever wrote this last part of John desperately needed an encore. Because he was asking himself as he was reading John, saying, I still don't quite know what I'm called to do. And John 21 gives us a very clear answer. We are called to love through action. We are called to love through feeding and caring and holding and embracing the lost, the least of these, the unlovable. Jesus says, feed them, care for them. For you too are called to love. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, on this morning, on this Mother's Day, we give you thanks. For God, we know that you have a mothering characteristic, that you have a mother's instinct to care for us and to love us just the way our mothers do. And God, today, you ask us, do we love you? And it is easy to say yes. It is easy to say yes once and twice and even three times. But God, the hard part is to show you we love you through action. So God, this morning we ask that you would give us the courage and the strength to go out into the world and to feed your sheep, to care for your lambs, and to shepherd others as you have shepherded us. God, this morning, we give you all of our praise and all of our love. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen.